Welcome to the teaching ministry of Stephen Fraser and Life of Faith Bible Church, an outreach dedicated to helping you triumph in every area of life. Now here's Pastor Fraser with today's message.
Bible says the eyes of the Lord are going to and fro throughout the whole earth to show himself strong on behalf of those whose hearts are loyal towards him. So he's looking. He's looking to show himself strong. God doesn't want us to be broken down and suffering in life. He wants to make the crooked places straight. He wants to cause the short places to be shored up and lengthened. Amen. I mean, he wants to do these things. But he needs folks to yield to him. He just needs folks to believe. Jesus, time and time again, would tell folks, according to your faith, let it be done unto you. Now, I grew up, you know, most of my life as a child, young boy growing up. You never heard anything like that. God manifesting, God getting involved in the affairs of men. And, you know, when I finally did start hearing about it, you thought, well, that's just kooky stuff. That is crazy. Because it seems so abnormal. It just seems so out of touch with reality. But that was only my reality. That was the reality I was living in, which was a reality that was ignorant of God. It was full of religion, but it was ignorant of the power of God. And I love what it says over in the book of Timothy. He says that there are many who have a form of godliness, but they deny the power thereof. They deny the power. So they have a form of godliness. And I believe that's talking about modern day religion. I believe that's just talking about all the religious stuff that goes on in the world where we really aren't expecting God to show up and do anything. But we're going to talk about him and we're going to read stories in the Bible of how he delivers and heals and sets captives free and how involved he is in the affairs of men. But in our reality, no, that he don't do that anymore. I mean, that doesn't really happen. See, that's that form of godliness. You say all the right things, you talk Bible talk, but there's no power. I got news for you, friend. God wants to be involved in every area of your life. He wants to manifest, show up, show himself strong on your behalf. He wants to show himself strong. He wants to make things right that are wrong. It was never his will for anything to be wrong in life. It was always God's will for things to be right. But sin got in there and made it wrong. But Jesus got in there and he makes it right. Hallelujah. Everything sin did, Jesus came to undo. And sickness and disease and all those things entered in. Infirmity and poverty and all these terrible things entered in. Tragedy, accidents, all these things entered in after sin came into the picture. Well, praise God, with Jesus taking away the sins of the world, with the outgoing of sin, goes the outgoing of everything that came in as a result of sin. Every evil thing, every oppressive thing, every bondage can be gone through faith in Jesus. But the key word there is faith. Faith. Jesus said, all things are possible to him that believes. Now, religion likes to say, all things are possible with God. And that's true, but there's another half to that. There's another side to that. And Jesus said, all things are possible to him that believes. So it's according to our faith that these good things that God has for us are done unto us. It's according to our faith. And faith comes by hearing and hearing the word of God. As we renew our mind to God's word, his way of doing things, and we get to know him, not just in word, but experientially, as we begin to act upon the word that we're taught, as we become doers of the word that we hear, God is getting involved in our life. He is working in us. That's when his grace goes to work in our life. is when we begin to be doers of the word of God. God wants to be involved. Hallelujah. And he has been. He has been involved in the affairs of men who believe him, who trust him for great and mighty things. And God wants to move in an amazing way across this whole world in our day. There are some even spectacular things that God wants to do in the day and hour that you and I are living in. Things are getting into position. You can sense it. If you're spiritually discerning, you can sense it. Things are getting in alignment. God is wanting to bring to pass a tremendous revival. Some call it a great awakening like America has seen in times past. A time where God is just so easily accessed. When faith is at a high, high level among men. And the glory of God, the manifested awesomeness of the Almighty is showing up. And people are getting healed. People are getting delivered. People are getting set free of stuff. I mean, you know, over here in 1 Corinthians chapter 14, we need to see this in our church. We need to see this kind of thing as a regular thing in our church. And when the glory of God is in great manifestation because people's faith level is high, then we will see this on a regular basis. Here, talking to the church at Corinth, he says in verse 24, "But if all prophesy and an unbeliever or an uninformed person comes in." Now, what is prophecy? That's getting something from the Holy Spirit and speaking it out by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. And really, that's what that was. That was a word of knowledge spoken out, inspired of the Holy Spirit. She didn't know that. She got that early. It just, to her, it just came out of left field, you might say. But it came up out of her spirit. She just knew there was someone who had one arm that was shorter than the other that God wanted to fix. And so that would be prophetic, wouldn't it? Yeah. And so he says, if all prophesy, I know this is something that should be normal in the church. People yielding to inspired utterances, inspired acts of the Holy Spirit. Here he says, if all prophesy and an unbeliever or an uninformed person comes in, and that could be a religious person, they're uninformed concerning the power of God. They come into our assembly, come into our church. He is convinced by all. He is judged by all. And thus the secrets of his heart are revealed. And so falling down on his face, he will worship God and report that God is truly among you. I mean, there's some places you can't even raise your hands in church without feeling uncomfortable. Here, he's talking about a church where people actually fall on their face and worship God. And that's to be normal, to have an atmosphere, to have a place where God is so showing up, God is so speaking, God is in such manifestation that an unbeliever comes walking in, an uninformed person doesn't know anything about the power of God, they come walking in and they know God is in this place. And what are they? What's the result? They run to the altar, they fall down, they worship God. And then when they go out of here, instead of saying, "There are a bunch of kooks over there," they walk out saying, "Truly God is among them. God is in their lives. God is manifesting in that place." That's the kind of church that God wants in this world. That's the kind of churches he wants. That's the houses of worship that he wants. He wants places full of him, full of his glory. And it's been being prophesied, and I believe God is wanting to get people ready. You know, it doesn't take a whole lot. I mean, there were 120 disciples in Acts chapter 1 and 2 that were just waiting They had believed the words of Jesus that there was a coming move of the Spirit of God, that the Spirit of God was going to come and do something awesome. They didn't understand fully what it all was, but they believed. And so they got themselves ready for it. They got themselves in position to be a part and to be used by God in this tremendous thing that he was about to do. And so on the day of Pentecost, they didn't know what was going to happen on that day, but on the day of Pentecost, which was a Jewish feast day, when people came from all over the world to Jerusalem to worship God, the Bible says suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled the whole house where these disciples, these 120 believers were gathered together. The power of God came in there, filled them all with the Holy Spirit. They began to speak with tongues. God so manifested that people could see fire appearing over the heads of the disciples. They can hear this tremendous wind blowing, but it wasn't natural. It was supernatural. It was spiritual. It was the holy presence of God. And they were so filled. And then what happened? Peter stood up. The crowds came. I mean, people came running from everywhere. All these people from all these different nations came to where they were hearing the sound. They were all perplexed about what was going on. They didn't understand the speaking in tongues and all these things. And Peter stood up, and the power of God came on him, and he preached. He preached the word of God and said, "This is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel, that it'll come to pass in the last days, says God, that I will pour out my spirit on all flesh. Your sons and your daughters will prophesy. Your young men will dream dreams. Your old men shall see visions." I might have got that backwards. But they're going to see visions. They're going to have dreams. There's going to be signs in the heaven above, signs in the earth below. He said, "This is that." And 3,000, boom, instantly, that day, were added to them. 3,000 people were born again. Well, you know the story. It just kept going. It just kept going. A couple chapters later, a couple more thousand join them. A couple more thousand get saved, baptized, filled with the Holy Spirit. And next thing you know, they're having church services every day. They're gathering every day around the Word of God. And God's adding people to them every day. Every day, people are getting saved. But there was a trigger. Something happened to trigger that. And then it just kept going. It just kept going. It just kept going. And the gospel was spread all over the world. Christianity became known all over the world. God's looking for times like that. Times, the Bible refers to as times of refreshing from the presence of the Lord. We're in need of one right now. I believe we're on the verge of one right now. I can go to Scripture to talk about the time that we're living in, and everything has lined up for these things to happen. But if you just listen to your heart, you know, there's a great reformation coming of the church, a great reformation, a great move of God to turn things back to God, to get things back on track, to cause people to come back in alignment with the power and plan and purpose of God for their life. And friend, you and I are here right now for such a time as this. This is our hour. This is not a time to be lazy and lethargic spiritually. Now's the time to sharpen our sword. Sharpen ourselves in the Word of God. Strengthen ourselves in our faith and be ready for all that God is seeking to bring to pass. The winds are blowing. Change is in the air. Hearts are being lined up to be receptive to God. Things are going on. Things are happening. And you and I need to be ready for it. What happens if those 120 believers in the first church of the upper room, what if they were not ready? What if? What if they hadn't been preparing themselves? What if their hearts weren't right with God? What happens if they were all entangled with the affairs of this life? What would have happened? Nothing. Nothing would have happened. There would have been no great move of God. It says God needs people. He needs you. He needs me.
He needs us to believe him. He needs us to get into one accord concerning his word and what he wants to do so that we're ready for him to flow through each and every one of us. He needs us. If those disciples were not ready, nothing would have happened. Why? Because the power of God, if it did come in there, it would have just been dissipated. Because nobody would have known what to do with it. They were, oh, well, I'm confused. I'm too busy for this. They would have missed the whole thing. So God knows that. So he's waiting for a people. His eyes are going to and fro throughout the whole earth, searching for those whose hearts are full of faith, those that he can speak to, and they'll speak what he says, those that will yield to him and cooperate with him. That's who he's looking for. That's what he's looking for right now. And he doesn't need a lot of people to shake the whole world up. We just saw that, 120. Turned the whole world upside down. Changed the course of history for all mankind. God doesn't need a whole lot of people. He just needs a few that'll believe. Why can't it be you? Why can't it be us? Why can't it be now? Why not? God's ready. God's ready. Are you ready? I know he's getting others ready. I know he's getting our nation ready. I know he's moving. I know he's doing things to get folks ready. And we're getting ready. And how does he get us ready? He gets us ready through his word, by speaking to us, revealing to us his purpose, his plan. Now is the time. Jesus is in the camp. Just like before an army goes out to battle, the generals come and they inspect the troops, don't they? They walk in review of the troops to make sure everybody is where they need to be and that there's no weaknesses among them, but everybody is in harmony with each other, everybody's in the flow, everybody is prepared, everybody's ready. If they go through the line and they see folks that aren't right, they're going to pull them out. Because they don't want to take folks into a battle that aren't ready. Because those people that aren't ready will risk the lives of those who are ready. And it's like, and I say this, I believe, by the Spirit of God, prophetically, that Jesus, the captain of the host, has been walking through the camp. He's been inspecting the troops. He's been walking up and down, and he's looking not on how sharp we're dressed in the physical. He's looking at our hearts, and he's seeing if everything is where it needs to be. He's checking us out on the inside. And we want to make sure our hearts are right. I said, we want to make sure our hearts are right. Everything is right. When the Lord looks, he goes, yep, that's a heart that's committed to me. That's a heart that's loyal to me. That's a heart that's faithful. That's a believer. That's a believer. That's not a religious yapper. That's not a person with a form on the outside, but it's hollow on the inside. No, this person's solid. They'll believe me. They're ready. They're ready. They're ready. They're ready. We want to be ready. I want to be ready. 1 John chapter 2. You know, the truth of the matter is, we know deep down if we're ready. We know. There's been times I've gone to God. I said, now, Lord, do I have everything right? Am I doing everything I'm supposed to be doing? Am I doing everything I'm supposed to be doing? Is everything, you know, in line in my life? And he comes right back. He came right back this one time. He doesn't have to do it all the time. You know, he does something once. You can answer the question from that point on anytime you have the same question, because it's going to be the same answer. So, you know, what came right back to me by the Spirit of God, the inspiration that I got was, are you? I said, Lord, am I right? Is everything in order in my life? He says, are you? Is it? I'm asking him this question, you know. He turns right around and says, is it? In other words, search your heart. You tell me. You tell me if everything's right in your life or not. You know. You got the Holy Spirit living on the inside of you. You got light on the inside of you. You got the Word of God in you. You know. Then you start examining, you know.
well, I should be doing a little bit more of this. I think, you know, I've been kind of slack in that area and this and that. Well, fix it. That's his answer. Fix it. Anything that doesn't line up with his word, it's nothing to pray about. Just fix it. If you're not in obedience to him, if you're not submitted to him in an area, fix it. Well, I know I should be spending more time with you. Fix it. Don't come back next week saying the same thing. Don't be saying that a month from now. Fix it. And I know. Like people are in this perpetual place of, well, I know I should spend more time with God. I know I should be spending more time in the Word. I know I should. Why aren't you doing something about it? So people live in this continual state of condemnation. They're living with condemnation on the inside of them, with heavy hearts that are pulling on them because they know they're not aligned with the will of God for their life. They know things aren't right. Man, that's a miserable place to be. And a lot of folks are trying to figure out, why am I so unhappy? Why do I have a bad attitude? Why are these things falling apart? Why can't I seem to get these things straightened out? Why isn't God answering my prayers? Come back to your heart. If you got condemnation in there, it's going to be hard for you to receive anything from God. I didn't say it's going to be hard for God to give to you. I said it's going to be hard for you to receive anything from God. I don't know why everything's going wrong in my life. I don't know why. It just doesn't seem right. It's all these people in my life. No. It's because I have a lot of people in my life. And I've had a lot of people in my life. Some even aren't in my life anymore. But you know what? That don't make a difference. If my heart is right with God, I got joy and peace and confidence in my believing. And so if something's going wrong around here, that doesn't mean I got to go wrong. But when I go wrong, then I don't look around here. I look at me and think, all right, what's wrong? Why that impatience? Why that bad response? Why did I say that? Why did I act that way? Why did that come out of my mouth? Why? I go right here. I don't say, well, it's because of them. They put this pressure on me, and these people, they don't appreciate me, and these people, Oh. No, honey, it's your heart. You are full of condemnation. And so your faith isn't working. And the Bible says, out of your spirit flows the issues of life. So if your spirit not right, the issues of life are not going to be right. Things will always be off track if you're off track on the inside. If you want things to come back in line on the outside, if you do want to get things to turn out the way they're supposed to turn out, good, you got to make sure your heart's good with God. If your heart's not good with God, then there's really no reason for us to sit down and talk about everything else that's going on. No reason to talk about your spouse. No reason to talk about the kids. No reason to talk about the boss. No reason to talk about the church, the pastor. No reason to talk about this, talk about that. It's just, let's talk about what's going on in the heart, in your spirit. Where's your heart at? Where's your heart at? Because out of there flows the issues of life. What's going on in there? One of the ways you can tell where your heart is by looking at where your treasure is. Isn't that what Jesus said over in Matthew, the 6th chapter? He said, where your treasure is, that's where your heart will be also. And that word treasure means valuables, wealth. Some translations say wealth, where your wealth is. In other words, where your money is. That's where your heart is. Some people, you even start to talk about money. You talk about their money. And, oh, man, they turn you off as fast as they can. Well, it shows that they've never been on with God. Their hearts are turned off with him. Jesus said, where's your treasure? Where's your money? What's going on with your finances? What's going on with your finances? Because where your finances are is where your heart is.
And if we're talking about your heart, we're talking about your love. What do you love? What do you have love for? And we could say it this way, and it works the same. Just turn it around. Where your treasure is not, your heart is not. Oh, I have a heart for God. Where's your tithe? How's your offerings? Where's your tithes? Where's your offerings? This is what the Spirit of God is speaking to us right now. Jesus is looking at hearts. And he doesn't want to hear a lot of hollow worship. He doesn't want to hear a lot of clanging and banging in the Spirit. And that's exactly what worship is. That's exactly how our prayers are if we're not doing it with a heart of love for him. If we're not loving God, truly loving him with our heart, then anything we say is like a clanging cymbal. I'm tempted to go back there and bang on that thing just to illustrate. That's how it is in the Spirit. Now, you tell me, you know, if you were standing right here, would you appreciate it if our drummer went back there? He decided he was going to pray in his little secret place back there. I'm going to go pray to God in my secret place. And you're God, okay? Who wants to be God? Aaron, you look like God. It's the beard. Stand in front of there. You are God. And I'm going to make my petition to you in this secret place. Oh, God, I love you. I love you. Lord, you mean so much to me. I just love you so much. Jesus, you're so great. Is that a blessing? Do you want to stay there? No. Neither do I. Praise God. That's what he says in 1 Corinthians 13. He said, if you're praying and doing all these things, but you have not love, you're a clanging cymbal. You're just a banging and a clanging in the Spirit. It's not a blessing to God, is it? No. We don't want to sound that way in the Spirit. We want our prayers and our worship to be like sweet incense that arises to him and is well-pleasing to God, well-pleasing to him. Well, that's not going to happen if we're just doing things in the flesh, but our hearts really aren't in it. And again, Jesus said, one of the ways you could check up on your heart is where is your treasure? Where is your money going? Remember over in 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 10, it says, for the love of money is a root to all kinds of evil, for which some have strayed from the faith in their greediness and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. Notice that the love of money. Now, a lot of folks would answer right back and say, I don't love money. But if you really think about love, what does it mean to love? It means to care about, deeply, be deeply concerned for, to really care about something, to be protective of it, devoted to it, to labor for it. A lot of folks, this is what they do for money. It's what they do for money. They care so much for it that they're so protective of it. Dare they talk about it? Dare they talk about me having to give? They're protective of that. All that pastor, all that minister thinks about his money. I never talk about money, do I? People that come here regularly. I hardly ever talk about it. Not that that's the right thing. I should talk more about it. Why? Because it's more of an issue in people's lives than probably anything else. It's what they're going to work for. It's what's determining what they own, what they don't own,
what they have, what they want to have. Oh, money has a lot to do with people's lives. But nevertheless, it's not to be something we love and we care about. And we're protective of it. And we labor for it. We're supposed to do all things as unto Him. We're to labor for the Lord, not for money. We labor, that the Bible talks about in Ephesians, that we should work with our hands, that we have something to give to those in need. In other words, we're not working for a living, but we're working for a giving. We're looking to give and be generous to others. And so we're looking to be able to bring our tithes and offerings to God and show our faith in Him, our consecration to Him, because faith without a show is dead. If there's no works to go with what we say we believe, when we say our heart is with Him, but yet our money is not, then we do not love the Lord. We don't. We might like the Lord. We might visit the Lord. We care a little about the Lord, but we don't love the Lord. We don't love the Lord. We're loving something else in His place. We're to be laboring for Him, doing all things as unto Him, caring about Him, His kingdom, seeking first the kingdom of God, knowing by faith that as we do, all these other things are added unto. I don't care about these other things. I'm not living with these other things. I'm not protective of it. These are all add-ons. This is who I care about. This is who I live for. This is who I worship. This is who I'm protective of. I'm protective of the glory of God. I don't want to see God chased out of this place. I don't want to see God chased out of our public schools. I don't want to see God chased out of our nation. Come on. You can't pray here, and you can't say the name of Jesus at this graduation, and you can't bring a Bible in here, and you can't do this, and you can't do that. They're trying to drive Him out. We got to be protective of Him and say, no further, friend. We're the salt of the earth. We're going to protect and preserve God in America and in our lives. We got to protect Him in our church. Oh, you don't want to do that in church? That might offend people. Oh, no, you don't want to do anything supernatural. That might offend people. It's only going to offend people that already have offense in their heart. Their hearts aren't right with God to begin with. Because if your heart's right with God, you get around something that you don't quite understand. You're not going You're not going to get offended at it, and critical and judgmental of everybody. You're going to go, Yeah? Maybe I'll search this out. Maybe I'll listen a little bit more. Maybe there's something they know that I don't know. I know that, and I know that's a real tilt, but there might be something that somebody, God might do some things that you didn't know He does. I know He doesn't always fit in your box like you have. But people have made their box, and God is outside. And in some churches, they're very proud that God is in their church, but He's in the back room. You go back there and experience God. I don't know how much of Him is really back there. We got to be protective of God, protective of His word. Guard His word. Because His word, if we'll guard His word will guard our life. Amen. We protect Him, He'll protect us. He is our protection. We are not our own protection. We care about Him with all our heart, with all our soul, with all our mind, with all our strength. But here He says, 1 Timothy 6:10 again, for the love of money, the love of money, you care so much about it, so protective of it, so afraid that you might lose some of it, might not get enough of it. The love of money is a root to all kinds of evil. Why? Because it's a heart issue. Because your heart is not right. Your heart is off track.
The trolley is off track. And so it's having a tough time going down the lane because it's off track. In other words, life is tough. Life is hard when your heart is hard. When things aren't right on the inside of you, it makes things very difficult on the outside. And it makes evil easier. It makes it easier for you to do evil, to fall into sin, to be rebellious against God, to not do other things that you're supposed to be doing. When your heart is not right with Him, when you're loving money, unable to give what you're supposed to give, it's going to make all these other things in your life evil. It's going to be a root to all kinds of evil, which some have strayed from the faith in their greediness. They've strayed. In other words, they had faith. They had faith. But then money became such an issue to them. They became so protective of their money, and they started pulling back. They used to tithe, but they don't tithe anymore. That didn't work. God's word doesn't work. Well, I was tithing, but then I still had bills, and I couldn't pay the bills, and so I just thought I would just not tithe anymore. And so people draw back from tithing. Well, guess what? You just drew back from God in your heart. You are doing what this says right here because of your concern about money. What's happening? You're straying from the faith. You're losing your faith. You're losing your faith in God. If you have strong faith in God, money is not an issue. You love giving to God. I got saved. I fell in love with the Lord. I don't even remember hearing anybody even have to preach about tithing. I just, somewhere along the line, it just became what I did. I wouldn't even dream about not tithing. I mean, I've been tithing ever since I got saved. Got saved to tithe. And finances haven't always looked great. But you trust Him. You believe Him. This is what you do. You don't compromise this. You don't justify in your mind somehow it's okay for you to not have to tithe. It's amazing how people lie to themselves. Thieves will lie to themselves. People will steal things from somebody and then turn around and say, well, you see, the company really owed this to me. I wasn't really getting paid what I was worth, and so that's why I owe it to myself to take this little extra here that nobody sees. God understands. Oh, He does. You're a thief. But you don't think you're a thief. Isn't that crazy? There's people that are absolute total thieves. They don't think they're a thief. They do not think they're a thief. They think they're justified. They've got such a rude awakening when they stand before the Lord. We have to make sure that our lives are lining up with the Bible. And I don't tithe. I believe tithing went out with the last Old Testament scripture. You know, tithing is a part of the law. And I'm not under the law. That's a real good one. Tithing is a part of the law. I'm not under the law. Friend, tithing is taught in the Word of God hundreds of years before there ever was a law. Ever before the law was given, tithing was taught in the Word of God. Abraham tithed hundreds of years before Moses came and gave us the law. Tithing is a part of what we do. Abraham knew to do this. Why? Because he had faith. He didn't have the law telling him to do it. He had faith in God. He believed God. And a faith reaction is tithing. Tithing. And the word tithe, for those that don't know, the word tithe means a tenth. So a tithe is when we give a tenth of all our income to God. So we get a paycheck. We take 10%. We give it to God. The government has already taken their percentage, haven't they? Before you even get your paycheck, the government already took what they're going to take. How about the government of heaven? How about the King of Kings? How about the Lord of Lords? He doesn't take it from you. He says, give it to me. And He tests you with your giving. He tests your faith in the area of giving.
And people that say, well, I tithed, but then I wasn't able to pay bills. Things weren't working out, so I stopped tithing. That shows right there that you never were committed in your heart in that area. So your faith was lacking to begin with. Because when you have faith, it doesn't matter what happens. You're staying with what God says. It doesn't matter. I don't care how bad it gets. I will go down dying tithing. I will go down starving to death tithing. If somebody gives me a dry morsel, and that's all I'm going to get, rip off a tenth of that. And I'm going to give that dry morsel to God. He said, if you don't eat that little 10%, you're probably going to starve to death. Hey, Lord, I'll die tithing. Why? Because it's the word of God. And you know what? You'll never die tithing. You'll never die at all if you stay committed to the word of God like that. I mean, I had a time where something bit me in the middle of the night out in Oklahoma. I mean, it was about 5 o'clock in the morning. Something bit me. I got up. I felt electricity shoot through my body. And I saw this black thing run off into the corner of the house. I got up. I went into this sweat. I mean, I felt instantly weak. And the devil came. He said, I got you. You're going to die right now. You got poison running through your body. You're not going to make it to Kentucky, because that's where I was getting a U-Haul, was ready to go. I was moving here to start the church. He said, you aren't going to make it. You're going to die right here out in this country home. So I turned on the U-Haul, and I'm quoting the scriptures like crazy, you know. No weapon formed against me, I'll prosper. I'll tread upon serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy. Nothing behind me. I'm by his stripes, I'm healed in the name of Jesus. And I got the U-Haul ready. I'm got ready to go to the hospital, you know. Drive myself to the emergency room. Devil said, oh, now you're really going to die. You're going to ride off the road and end up in a ditch dead. So I'm quoting the word, I'm hanging by the word. And finally, I got a little quiet. I just paused for a moment, and I heard these inspired thoughts on the inside of me. You know, either what you're saying is true or it's not. What does it say? Quoting scripture like crazy. Either what you're saying is true or it's not. I said, well, that's true. I turned off the engine. I got out of the car. I said, Lord, I said, you said no weapon formed against you will prosper. And by the stripes of Jesus, I'm healed. I said, and I believe your word. And so I'm just going to thank you and praise you right now, standing here. And if I die, then I'm dying believing you. And I just started praising him and thanking him. And you know what? Within just a few minutes, every symptom left my body and strength came into me. And you know the rest of the story. I went on to Louisville, Kentucky and started a church. But you stay committed. You commit yourself to what God says to be a doer of it like that, and he is going to show himself strong on your behalf. You will not be put to shame. But you got to have that kind of, that's the kind of hearts the general, the captain of the host right now is looking for in his army. He is looking for those who have that kind of heart. So many folks, generally speaking, in the body of Christ, are backslidden in their hearts. They're backslidden. But they've so justified things that if God himself manifested on this platform and he looked and said, you're robbing me. You're a thief. A lot of folks would look at him and go, Lord, how in the world am I a thief? They wouldn't even know it. They wouldn't even know it. Stealing from the company. Stealing from this, stealing from that. How am I? Because they've so convinced themselves of how good they are. I am so much better than that person behind me. Notice it's in Malachi. Malachi chapter 3. I'm going to be ready for this move of God. God wants all of us in the flow. But if our hearts aren't right in this area, in the area of money, then our hearts aren't right. And that's just going to be a route to all kinds of evil. Or in other words, it's going to be a doorway for all kinds of devils to come in and wreak havoc. And God can't have any open doors in the church. Why? Because it'll endanger the heads of those that are faithful to the Lord. We can't have something that is a route or a passageway for Satan to come in. And if we're loving money, if somebody's loving money, they're a passageway for Satan to come in.
and cause a lot of troubles in the church. Notice this in Malachi chapter 3. In verse 8, he says, "Will a man rob God? Yet you have robbed me. But you say, in what way have we robbed you?" You know, Jesus said that the day is going to come where people will actually stand before his judgment. He will say to them that "I never knew you. Depart from me." And they're going to say, "Lord, Lord, Lord, we prophesied in your names and we did this in your name. And Lord, we did this and you taught in our streets and all these things." They're going to be shocked. Their minds are so full of religious self-justification. Their hearts are so full of religious self-justification that when they stand before him, they're going to be shocked. He said this is going to happen. People are going to actually question his judgment. That's how deceived the heart of man can become. That's what's so dangerous and evil about religion. Because it makes you feel good even though you're not living right. There's no conviction there. We don't allow the Spirit of God to convict people because we don't want them to feel uncomfortable in service. Because they feel uncomfortable in my service, they won't come back. And my greatest goal in life is getting people back. Because I want to grow a big church. So I don't want to offend anybody. Well, friend, you could probably figure out that's not my biggest goal. My biggest goal is to get your heart right with God. So that you make it to heaven. And when you do get there, that you're pleasing to him. And you're not ashamed before his judgment. That's my greatest desire. So notice, he says, "Will a man rob God? Yet you have robbed me." But you say, "In what way have we robbed you?" He says, "In tithes and offerings. You are cursed with a curse." Why? Because the love of money is a root to all kinds of evil. Curses are evil. "You are cursed with a curse, for you have robbed me, even this whole nation. Bring all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be food in my house, and prove me now." See, here again. The eyes of the Lord are going to and fro, searching. He's looking for someone to show himself strong on their behalf. So now this is what he says here. He says, "Prove me now in this, says the Lord of hosts, if I will not open for you the windows of heaven and pour out for you such blessing that there will not be room enough to receive it." Friend, that's what we're looking for. We're looking for a sound from heaven. We're looking for a move of God. We're looking for the Spirit of God to be poured out in a fresh way. We're looking to be a part of something glorious that God wants to do in our nation and in our world. And he says, before the blessing can come, the tithes and offerings need to be brought into the house of God. We need to get our hearts right with God. We need to make sure that we love the Lord more than money. And money is such a big part of our lives that if you don't maintain good fellowship with the Lord, it would be easy for money to become your idol. It'd be easy for money to be the thing that you affectionately live for and love and care about and work for more than the Lord. So we got to keep ourselves in fellowship with him. Number one, how's your time with the Lord? How's your time? Well, I know I should be doing more. You're backslidden. Why don't you fix that today? If you're not sliding back, then you're moving forward. And if you're not fixing this, if you're not your time with the Lord, you don't know when it's not where it needs to be, then you're obviously not moving forward. So we want to move forward. We don't want to go back.
Come on, the Lord's trying to help us today. He's trying to whip us into shape and say, straighten up, soldier, fix your uniform, get yourself in line, because I'm about to take you out on a battlefield that's about to bring deliverance to a lot of people. And deliverance means you're going to deal with a lot of devils, which means you're going to have to be ruling over the devils and not in cahoots with the devil or be a doorway for the devil. You can't be a deliverer of devils and a doorway for the devil at the same time. You're either a doorway for the devil or, praise God, you deliver people from devils. And the Bible says it's a route. It's a passageway. It's a doorway. We don't want to give any place to the devil. Right? So the Lord's helping us. I believe there's people that have tithed. They're not tithing anymore. Why? You're backslidden. Your heart's not right. Don't give me all the excuses. But here's the Bible. This isn't about the law. This is just the Word of God. This is the Word of God. It's still the same today. We can't rob him. He gets the tenth. Somebody comes up to me and hands me $10, they're getting $1. I'm bringing $1 to the offering. Somebody comes and says, Pastor, I love you. Here's $100. $10 is going to God. It's not mine. It's not mine. It's his. The tenth is his. If I take the tenth, I just robbed from him. I just stole from God. Not a good thing. That would put you in the same company as with Judas. Not a good thing. I remind you that before Judas betrayed Jesus, Judas stole the Lord's money. Remember that? He was a thief. He was a thief first. So he started out as a thief. He just stopped. He started taking what he shouldn't have been taking, stealing from the Lord. And then he let that go. He let that go. And then guess what? He just full-blown betrayed the Lord because his heart got darker and darker and darker. Man, we got to deal with our hearts. We got to get on top of ourselves. Amen? And we need preaching like this. Don't you believe we need preaching? If I just got it, God loves you. He has a wonderful plan for your life, and you're so special, and he is love, and the world is beautiful as it spins around on its axis. And I just talk about, you need to hear about the love of God. You need to know how special you are. You need to be affirmed in your love and understanding of these things. But that's not all you need. You need discipline. You need correction. You need rebuke. You need the Spirit of God to be able to come and help you get things right because you're so good at deceiving yourself. It's the way the flesh is. It's the way it is for mankind. We deceive ourselves. We like to believe lies, sweet little lies about ourselves. We're easily convinced that somebody else has got problems, but we ourselves, we are easily convinced that we're good. Very pious. But no. We don't want to be shocked when we get to heaven, right? And nobody's going to get to heaven and be shocked, and the Lord's going to put his arms around him and say, I understand it was your pastor. He never told you. I tried to tell him to rebuke you. He wouldn't do it. He just wanted to grow his church, and he just wanted to be sweet to you, and he didn't want to offend you, and I'm sorry. I'm sorry that he didn't show you. That's not going to happen when you get to heaven. The Lord's going to look at you and go, I told you, and I sent my word and a messenger, but you didn't want to change because you loved money. You just wanted to change churches after that Sunday service. You were just thinking how I can get out of there and go to the next church. Where will I go next? Some people are just sitting there, where can we go now? You don't want to change your heart. You just want to change churches. You don't want to change your heart. You just want to change everything else. As many as the Lord loves, he rebukes. And that's a good thing. You should be so flattered today. You should be like, wow, God really loves me. He is not letting me get away with this. He is going to get this thing straightened out in my heart. Wow, God. Thank you, Jesus. God loves me. Right? And he says, if you're a fruitful branch, he prunes you. He cuts things. He cuts the dead ends off so you can bear more fruit. So you must be a fruitful group of people. But if we do draw back, we dry up. And then we talk about
how once we bore fruit. I used to bear a lot of fruit. Let me tell you how much fruit I bore. Yeah, what are you doing now? Stick. Hallelujah! I don't want to be a stick with a little dried prune hanging off of it. Do you? No! Thank God you don't have to be. Praise God, you can get your heart right. Don't be a thief. You bring your tithes to the Lord. That, you know, I like to call the tithe, our, you know, the blessing boundary. You know, the tithe, you got 10%, and it's like, we know we don't give any less than that. Now, offerings, we also give offerings, but we'd never give any less than 10%. And that keeps us, that's a safety thing for us, so we never can drift that far back in being generous and in our faith concerning finances. That's, it's a barrier, that 10%. I always have to give my 10%. And so as a result of that, that keeps me always in a place where I'm trusting God and I'm giving. I'm giving because the way God's going to bless our life is through our giving. As we give, he says, it will be given back to you. Good measure pressed down, shaken together, and running over. So thank God that 10% keeps us always in a giving mode. Because without it, then we just start giving less and less and less, and there's no real boundary to tell us what we're supposed to do. And so we don't know if we're really that bad after all. But if you're not giving 10%, you know things are wrong. Because that's a part of what we do as Christians. That's part of what we do as Christians. We are tithers. Can you say amen? Oh, hallelujah. So many more good things we can cover in this. But we want to be ready. We want to be vessels that God can use in these last days. And this is a big area right here that he is dealing with this church about right now. He very, very strongly came upon me to minister this word to you today, to really talk to you about these things. It's very, very, very strong in my heart. I don't sit there and go through and look at what everybody gives. I don't bother myself with that kind of thing. But the Lord is dealing with us right now. There's people, things are not life right in your life, and they never will be until you get back to doing these basic things. Get back to getting your heart right with God. Your time with him and your giving. Your tithing. Time and tithing. Time and tithing. And you make time. You don't see if you have time. You make time. So tomorrow, when are you going to get with the Lord? Where is that? You know that today. You set that up. Does that mean you have to set your alarm so you get up earlier? Does that mean you have to stay up later and you prepare so that you have time to spend with him? You give him your time and you give him your tithes. This is the word of the Lord. This isn't the word of Pastor Stephen Fraser. It's not my word, it's his word. And it's come by his spirit. So you need to really search and make sure you line yourself up. Don't kid yourself. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Oh, Father, thank you for utterance. Thank you for the Holy Spirit convicting. Because talk isn't going to get it done. It's the conviction of the Holy Spirit that cuts through that darkness, cuts through that self-deception, that lying that we do to ourselves and Satan helps us with. Thank you, Lord, for cutting through. And right now we're going to deal with these two basic things, our time with you and our tithing. We're going to get that right now. Every person in this church, if you're not a tither, you need to be one. Go through the membership class. We teach it in the membership class. If you've gone through the membership class, you signed, I'm a member, and you're not tithing, then you're a liar as well as a thief. You've broken your commitment, not just to the Lord, even to the church. See, you don't want to just go on like there's nothing wrong with that. That's big. That's a big deal. That's a big deal. If you're not sure about tithing, then you ask. Come and ask questions about it. Don't just assume anything. Let's make sure we have this right. Lord's walking through. We're going to be used of him. We're going to be a part of what's coming. Hallelujah. Great outpouring. Great outpouring. Oh, thank you, Father. Thank you for searching hearts. Thank you for helping us, Lord.
That concludes this message. For more information about Life of Faith Bible Church or Stephen Fraser Ministries, go to our website at lofbc.org. While you're there, be sure to check out the many other teaching series and books by Stephen Fraser. That website again is lofbc.org. And you can always call 888-542-2555. We trust today's message has encouraged your faith and strengthened your spirit to live the victorious life. And until next time, remember, we always triumph and we always win.